This is Carol here with Arts Live and Local, and I am just the luckiest person to get to talk to all of the fantastic artists and people who bring us the arts and culture in this entire region. So want to give a big shout out to Boudelier's Point. What a wonderful thing when your friends call you from the other end of the country, if not the planet. Nice in the morning. Great way to start the day. Arts Live and Local is sponsored in part by the Astor Street Opry Company's 30th season of Shanghai in Astoria and the 11th annual Miss Vivian and Virginia contests. Should it be Miss what's the plural of Miss? Anyway, information and tickets are available now by calling 503-325-6104 or online at AstorStreetOpryCompany.com. And do stay tuned because I think my last guest is going to be folks from the Opry. So you'll hear all about Miss Vivian, a couple of different Miss Vivians. And right now I want to play a piece and invite everybody to honor the river. You can honor the Columbia River wherever you are, but there's a special vigil that's going to be going on for the next 16 days, and it's starting right here in Astoria and going all the way through Oregon and up, 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 and ending in British Columbia. And pretty exciting at the river's source. So here in Astoria, Honor the River will begin at 6 o'clock at the end of 6th Street on the river. You're welcome to bring a prayer, a poem, a song, a story about the river to share, or just come to be there in community. And finger food if you like for potluck. And the vigil will, as I say, be going on. But if you can't make it, then just send positive vibrations. I know right here on the radio, Kim Angelis' World Music Show will be putting her energy out. Last week she played all music for rivers all over the world. A little prescient. And today I think she's going to be doing waterfall. So here's a song for the living water of our river. Thanks for being here, Coast Community Radio.
Shalom.
That's this evening. Bring your music or your poetry or your prayer, a few words, a funny story, something to show your connection to this incredible river that we treasure so deeply here. And we know that goes way back, long before anyone who's alive was around. So, but now I have a live one right here. Oh, Betsy Millard is here from the Columbia. Oh, that's interesting. Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. And it sounds like a fantastic exhibit. We're still here. Hey, that fits right in with the river, too, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
And, I wasn't even thinking of that when I said that about the people who came long before us, because your exhibit is The Survival of Washington Indians. And this is, I understand, a Washington State Heritage Center exhibit that was set up. And then you have, as if that's not enough, you have an installation of paintings, drawings, and carvings by Charles Funk of the Chinook tribe in this community. And I'll just let folks know right now that the opening is tonight at the very same time. It's from 5 until 7. Actually, if you live on the peninsula, you could go to the opening and then come here. If you live here, it's a little trickier, but the exhibit's going to be open until September 28th. So tell us about this. I'm fascinated. Do you often have exhibits coming from the Heritage Center?
Well, this is the first time I've done one in the 7 years I've been there from the Heritage Center, which is a part of, and actually I think they've just changed their name now, they're called Legacy Washington, as part of the Office of the Secretary of State, and our former Secretary of State Sam Reed was a big heritage buff, mm-hmm. and put a lot of energy into saving a lot of documents and histories and then making those things public. So they've done some wonderful books.
Great.
And occasionally these exhibits, which they would have on view up in Olympia. And in the case of this show, they've put it out on the road and made it very accessible for smaller museums like ours.
Nice.
And the nice thing about it is that it's beautifully done. I mean, they're big on foam core and all bright photographs and things that we can't afford to do.
Sure.
But photographs and a lot of interpretive material. And with this show, the Washington Arts Council is also touring with it about a dozen objects from different tribes. So some incredible beadwork from the Yakima tribe,
nice.
Baskets, and then we like to make it local.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's why we added a special exhibit of Charles Funk's work, which is paintings and carvings and drawings.
Tell us about Charles Funk.
Charlie is a Chinook elder, has been on both the council and the cultural committee over the years, and is also a very accomplished painter. Who lives actually in Chehalis, but spends a great deal of time in our waters along the Columbia Pacific. And he has, I think, just a really wonderful way of capturing place. There are just some artists who, it's so ingrained in them. You look at the paintings and you know, it's like, I've seen that place. I know that place.
It has
that feel, light, that the landscape. And Charlie also, in a number of his works, brings in Chinookan stories and histories and important iconography. And it's really a nice...
How old a man is he, ish?
I hope he's not listening, but I think he's close to 70 now.
Well, hey, wait a minute. 70 isn't very
well,
old.
Well, I could... Jim. No, I'm not saying it's old, but I hope I'm not wrong.
Okay.
70's a new 60, right?
Oh, so, or 50 even. Come on.
Well, certainly in Charlie's case, he's very energetic and he's a wonderful artist. And you've probably seen perhaps some of his T-shirt designs at Fort Clatsop and the Maritime Museum. So he does a lot of different things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is he going to be able to join?
He
you?
is. He's going to be there this evening.
Oh, this evening?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so he'll be there, and he comes in. He comes over to Waco quite a bit. So we're
good.
Always happy to see Charlie. And then we also included a few things from our collections of kind of more or less contemporary Chinookan material. We have some baskets. Well, these are actually on loan from Washington State Park, but some baskets by Bessie Pickernell, which are amazing, just really beautiful baskets. A carving by George Lagergren, who did this Tenas Lulu, which was a very special, small canoe that was part of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial. And button blanket robes by Charlotte Trow, Charlotte Harold Trow, who was a very important member of the Chinook tribe and very lively and educated. You know, she was a great promoter of
Chinook
the tribe.
And culture.
Yes, and culture.
So is that part of your museum's permanent exhibit?
Yes, those are in the collection, and the Tenas Lulu you've probably seen in the galleries. Mm-hmm. The button blankets are a little harder to exhibit all the time because they're fragile and they get light faded, so they come out for special occasions like this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you have something like this that is so historical and cultural and precious, is there anything material that folks can take away from here, or is this...
That would be nice.
Well,
if there was a catalog or something.
They didn't publish one
with this exhibit.
Okay.
And we sometimes try to do a handout or something like that just to help people along, you know, just something to take away. I didn't do it for this one, although it's something to think about.
It's here through September 28th, yes. Betsy, so you have time.
In
your spare time. Right?
And there's a wonderful new book out on the Chinook that was done by Ken Ames and Tony Johnson.
These are our contemporaries.
Blanking on the third person is terrible. Mm. But it's available, and it's a thick book, but it's a marvelous, marvelous book.
You know, I was in Clark County, and they have a delightful museum there. I went there because they were having a concert, a labor concert. Oh. But I met someone, and I'm not sure if it's from this same organization, the Washington State Heritage, but she gave me, for the station actually, some CDs. I wish I'd brought them. I'm going to have to, because they are different tribal people telling stories, and then some had booklets with them, and it was kind of like a tour guide as you're driving.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was them. They've done wonderful oral histories,
it was all
books,
Native culture.
They've done a number of things on different platforms.
So they may even have something to send out.
Well, they have
later.
A little website that accompanies this show that's kind of nice, and it has the label copy and things like that. So if you want to remind yourself, you can go back to it.
Well, let's remind everybody that this exhibit opens tonight, but it is open through September 28th at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaco. Why don't you give the address?
Yes, we're at 115 Southeast Lake Street, and we are open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4, and Sundays from noon to 4.
That's generous.
And our phone number, if you want to give us a ring, is 360-642-3446.
Okay, excellent. And I know it sometimes you've had children's school programs. Is that, have you done that at
we've done kids
out
programs
right now,
school's
so
out we're actually working on, we have a wonderful, I should have mentioned this earlier, but because this show came together with the help of Amy Bosworth, who's one of our community historian graduates, and each of the graduates have to do a project, and so this was Amy's, was putting together this show, working on in the collections and finding the pieces and making it all happen. So it was a great learning experience for her. And she is also working on, and it's not quite ready yet, but it will be this in the next few months, a wonderful children's activity book for the museum, so that kids can take through the museum. That
it's a wonderful them. This museum is wonderful and quite diverse, and all age for sure. So it's well worth a visit if you can make it tonight. That would be wonderful to meet Charlie, Charles Funk. And otherwise, just get in there Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4, Sunday noon to 4. How long do you keep those hours?
We are that. We are
all
year
winter
round.
Even? Mm-hmm. Really? Those, mm-hmm. That's great. Okay.
As long as people come, we'll be open.
There is the magic. Yeah. Yeah. The peninsula is a hopping spot. There is so much going on over there. I remember the days.
Yes. And I should mention, too, that the admission is free on Thursdays. The Port of Vilwaukee has sponsored a free day for us. And so Thursdays are a good day to come. But
bring the whole family. And
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Betsy Millard, the director of the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaukee. If you say it enough, you too will be able to spit it out. Remember the beginning, I could not get that out. So again, the exhibit, We're Still Here, The Survival of Washington Indians, an exhibit organized by the Washington State Heritage Center by whatever name they go, and then paintings, drawings, and carvings by Charles Funk and other Chinookan artwork and crafts. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thank
you. Okay. I really look forward. I love all your exhibits, so I know I'll get there some. Okay. I have some more music for the river, and then I've got some musicians coming up, and I saw them with their instruments in hand, so we'll be hearing them soon. It's 3:16 here at Coast Community Radio. Thanks for being here, folks. This is Carol.
I'm going down to the river, gonna lay my body in. Down to the river, let the water cool my skin. And I'll say, oh, river, river to the sea, if I gave you my body, would you carry me? There's a tear in my heart, and it continues to grow as I learn the secrets that this old river knows. And I say, oh, river, river to the sea, if I gave you my heart, would you set it free? I'm going down to the river, lay down my weary bones. Down to the river, let the water cool my soul. And I'll say, old river, river to the sea, if I gave you my body, would you carry me? There's a tear in my heart and it continues to grow as I learn the secrets that this old river knows. And I say, old river, river to the sea, if I gave you my heart, would you set it free? I'm going down to the river, gonna lay my body in. Down to the river, let the water cool my skin. And I'll say, old river, river to the sea, if I gave you my body, if I gave you my body, would you carry me?
So finally they didn't go down there, and they made it. They didn't miss that island. They flow in, because you couldn't see the island from the upriver, you know. So you just had to fly in and flow in, kind of blind.
Smiling face, you look
what you're listening to now. It's quite a shift. We've got some live music here from Audio Tattoo. Do want to let you know that what you heard before that was from Salmon Nation Artists Project. And we heard Aspen Switzer with Old River, and then Harold Kulpas, and we were listening to Hunter Pay, or Pie, with the Simple Life, fabulous album. Alexa Wiley had a big hand in this, and she shared it with us here at the radio station at York Coast Community Radio. And as I say, now I've got Audio Tattoo, and that would be Scott Butler and Mark Loring. Scott's on guitar and Mark on mandolin. And I'll let them wind down when they're ready so we can talk a little, and then they'll give us an actual song. Ah, magic. They wound down just like that. Well, welcome to Scott Butler. Hi, Scott. On
Hello.
Guitar.
Thank you very much for hosting us today.
You bet. And Mark, I know you, yeah, exactly. I know you're not, you said you're not singing, but boy, that's interesting. I see your hair and a pair of earphones rather than your face. That's okay. Mark Loring is here on mandolin. And you are here because you're playing tonight.
Yes, we
at
are.
At the We're... Blue Scorcher.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about 7 o'clock, or is Brian going to open at 7?
There's going to be opening act from 7 to 7:30, and then we'll be coming on.
Okay. Blue Scorcher is on the corner of 15th and Duane. The entrance is on Duane, our wonderful cafe and bakery. So my understanding is that Scott and Mark play new and used, I love it, original tunes. No covers. Oh, then come the uncommon covers, with an emphasis on Oregon history, which fits well with the, we were just speaking to Betsy Millard from the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. And both of you have history here, but why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, and then I'll see if I have to fill in anything.
Okay, this is Scott Butler again. I've lived on the Oregon coast since about 1970, owned the natural food store in Cannon Beach in the early 70s with my partner Rena Taylor. Slowly migrated down the Oregon coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lived outside of Lincoln City in a little place called Rose Lodge, a suburb of Otis.
And, wait a second. How can you have a suburb
it's a tiny town.
Otis?
Well, exactly. It's just that I love the name Rose Lodge, of course.
Yeah, that's lovely.
It's perfect. My Oregon history goes back to my great-great-great-grandfather, named John Hurd Cooch, who was a sea captain who came across the bar here on the Columbia River in 1839 the first time. And he was coming to trade, hopefully, with the natives. He had quite a few coopers with him, and they were going to build barrels and salt up salmon and take it off to the Sandwich Islands and trade. And so he sails in, and the story goes he used up 3 anchors getting across the bar, but apparently he was proficient enough to survive the experience.
That's the important part, yeah.
Sailed up to the mouth of the Willamette, basically, and found out that the Hudson's Bay Company had already tied up business, and so the natives weren't really allowed to trade with him.
Mm-hmm.
So he sails up the Willamette as far as he can and starts doing business with who I refer to as the New Oregonians, the people out in the Tualatin Plains and the early settlers. And they were a very diverse group. So he decides that that's his future, and he ends up unloading the stuff he has and sails off again. And I think probably on his second trip out, he actually sets up a store down near Oregon City and trades regularly.
Where did he come from?
He sailed out of Newburyport, and he sailed for the Cushing family, who were a very large shipping family in the day, kind of the Onassis of their day.
Mm-hmm.
They had just ships going all over. And so when he was very young, he started sailing and started as a cabin boy and worked his way up.
Wow. You know, I don't know whether you've been following this, but tonight at 6, which is long before you're on, we are honoring the Columbia River with a vigil, telling stories and prayers and music, and you'd fit right in. Oh, my goodness. And I just had no idea, although now when you handed me this, I did see a ship on the...
Mm-hmm.
So where does the name Audio Tattoo come from?
Is it well anything? When we started playing, we played together 40 years, and then we decided Mark and Loring and I.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And but we haven't been out performing except for about a year. We had our own lives and did things in between. And so we, for very many reasons, we decided to start taking it out and about. And so we tried a lot of different names. And among other things, you go online now and you find out every good
Everybody's got it.
We were just talking one day, and Mark mentioned Audio Tattoo in a phrase. And I said, well, let's think about that. And I went online, and the only thing I could find under Audio Tattoo is some company that prints boomboxes on your chest or musical clefs
audio
on your arm. Audio-themed tattoos. And so we've run with it. And so far, we haven't run into any trouble.
Anyone else. Right. Well, I like it, and it's interesting, of course, the audio part, but also the tattoos have certainly come of age. I mean, they've always been around, but now they're ubiquitous. I mean, everybody, male, female, young, old, has tattoos all over the body. Not me. I just want to make that clear.
Well, and that was our point, actually, is that we don't ink our stories and our memories on our hides. We write them into songs and play them.
I like it. Well, Mark, before I let you speak, why don't you give us a tune?
Okay, well,
audio
and, we've done, over the last year, we've kind of developed a repertoire, and just this year we've started doing some of my older songs, and we're going to do one that I wrote about 40 years ago. And,
okay.
So that's the one we were kind of playing in the background.
Okay.
And here it comes again. George, you know, never seen so many fish swimming by. I think this country is for me, and I'll stay till I die. Oh, Dr. McLaughlin, won't you let me stay here and work in this northwest country? Trapping that beaver, he's a rodent, you know. We'll skin him, tan him, and trade him for gold. Well, I'm working these rivers, these creeks, and these streams, stringing out traps, trapping them dreams. Hudson's Bay Company, they're the people I work for, but I never do see. Oh, Dr. McLaughlin, won't you let me stay here and work for your company? Trapping that beaver, he's a rodent, you know. We'll skin him, pan him, and trade him for gold. Bones, and I'm thinking ahead when I have my own home. But the beaver get fewer and the money gets gone. Them Chinooks tell us why you done it all wrong. Oh, Dr. McLaughlin, won't you let me
Stay here and work, maybe make some money. Trapping that beaver, he's a rodent, you know. We'll skin him, tan him, and trade him for gold. Well, I came in over the bar a month ago. Sailed up this river past Fort George, you know. Never seen so many fish swimming by. Think this country's for me, and I'll stay till I die. Oh, Dr. McLaughlin, won't you let me stay here and work in this northwest country? Trapping that beaver, he's a rodent, you know. We'll skin him, pan him, and we'll trade him. We'll skin him, pan him, and we'll trade him. We'll skin him, pan him, and trade him for gold.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Feel a little sorry for the critters, but you, that's a terrific song. Now, I have some questions. I wrote them down, see? references. At the beginning, you say something about passing Fort George. Which Fort George were you referring to then? If you wrote this 40 years ago, it obviously wasn't the Brood Pub.
No, it was the city we're sitting in, yeah, which was originally founded as Astoria, approximately 1811, I believe. And for a while, it slipped back into the hands of the British, and it became known as Fort George. And
Fort
so
George.
It's just, you know, kind of a fun way to refer to Astoria.
Right.
And I'm always dabbling in history just a little bit.
Well, it's great, though, because have you been to the Fort George? Right here? It's right across the street?
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's you're right up to date.
Oh, well, thank
That's
you.
That's the
right
funny part.
It's only 1815.
Yeah, there you go. And then you have been mentioning this Dr. McLaughlin. Who is that?
Well, I believe he was referred to as the head benefactor. Is that the word? He was in charge of the Hudson's Bay Company operation out of Vancouver, Washington. And he had the whole place tied up in a huge way.
He was the fur trade here.
Yeah.
And so pretty much as the American settlers came in, they had to deal with him to some degree, and he actually had mercy on them. They were largely starving and having a hard time, so he traded with them and gave them credit. Mm-hmm. And the British Hudson's Bay Company was not happy about this, and they eventually decided to remove him from that position. And he stayed. He moved down to Oregon City.
Mm-hmm.
And
the house there.
He built a house. He built the first mill, I believe, at the falls. I think it may have been a flour mill. I'm not quite sure. But he owned an enormous amount of land.
He had a house here, though.
No, in Oregon City is where he built the house. Yeah,
this building you're in right now is owned by a doctor with a name close to that. That's why I'm going like, oh, come on now. First the Fort George, then Dr. McLaughlin.
Well,
okay.
People often see pictures of him. He was about 6'4". He had this
stark white hair.
Mm-hmm. And he was just a huge presence. And eventually the powers that be took everything away from him, you know, in exchange for him being nice to the settlers. He eventually pretty much lost all his holdings except his main house.
Yeah.
But he's considered maybe the father of the Oregon Territory.
Wow. This is exciting because, folks, you get music and you get all kinds of history here, the two of them. And the last thing I just want to say is how much more organic could this program be? Now, had you thought of singing that song when you came in?
Oh, absolutely.
That's the one we
picked
for this occasion.
We sang some songs last year. But
so
again,
you had no idea that the exhibit that's opening tonight is We're Still Here, The Survival of Washington Indians, plus the installation of paintings, drawings, and carvings by Charles Funk Chinookan and a local Chinook exhibit stuff. So. I'm talking organic and the river. Wonderful.
We're homegrown.
This is terrific. Well, you sound wonderful. Mark, we don't have much time. So give us, you're old school here in this area to a lot of us.
We've got people in the ground here, Carol, as you know.
The name is Mark Loring, so some of you know.
You probably know my sister,
Shelley Loring, the flute player. And his father, Michael Loring, who was this incredible human being. By the time he was here, he served as our cantor for 5 years. But before that, he was a recording artist.
For Columbia and among others, yeah.
And he associated with all kinds of...
interesting folks that I grew up around with access to. And so when Scott and I met back in the 70s in this little coastal town that we both fell in love with, we discovered we loved a lot of the same kind of music.
Wow.
And so as our life took us in various different places, we would continue over the years to get together and play tunes. And I've always admired his music, mm-hmm. his own original
yeah.
stuff from
that was terrific,
early on.
Terrific.
And I mean, these you're listening to, this one today, that's really one of the first songs of his I heard. It's 40 years old, practically.
Well,
and a lot of the stuff that we do, he wrote, you know, last year. So
mm-hmm.
it's fun to go back into this older stuff.
I am delighted that you have finally decided to be a little bit more generous and share your music with people instead of just the two of you holding up and playing it. You sound terrific.
Well, thank you.
And you're going to be at the Scorcher, the Blue Scorcher, this evening at 7 o'clock. Opening is Brian Rock on acoustic guitar, and then Audio Tattoo, my guest Scott Butler on guitar, and Mark Loring on mandolin. And I don't know how late they'll be allowed to play, but I would highly recommend going over there and checking it out, and then encouraging them to return. They're only right here in Portland. We can grab them, and they both love this area, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, wonderful. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
Coming
Thank you,
in.
Carol.
Thanks for the music. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to more, and then maybe you'll make a recording at some point so we can mm-hmm. play you in when you're not here. You know,
thank
what
you
a concept, huh? It's a radio
station. It's a radio station.
Support the community radio.
Support yeah. your community radio
there we
station,
go.
That's for sure.
Okay, Scott Butler and Mark Loring of Audio Tattoo at the Scorcher tonight. Check it out. Right now I have a piece of, it's Artist the Spoon Man. And this one is going out to the people of Sierra Leone, Liberia, Guinea, Nigeria. And hopefully someone is going to just grab this and stop it right now, the Ebola virus that is killing people. Here's Artist Spoon Man, and you're at Coast Community Radio.
Zaire is a tropical filovirus. Ebola, Zaire is a tropical filovirus. Ebola, Zaire is a tropical filovirus, taking 80% of its host in 10 days at the most. You'll be bleeding from every pore. There's no telling how many more hostless viruses exist. Where there used to be rainforest, where there used to be rainforest, where there used to be rainforest. Suppose all the animals go when they chop down the rainforest. Where do you suppose all the water will flow when they chop down the rainforest? Where do you suppose all the viruses go when they chop down the rainforest? When they chop down the rainforest? When they chop down the rainforest? Filovirus, Ebola, Zaire is a tropical filovirus. Ebola, Zaire
is a tropical filovirus, taking 80% of its host. In 10 days at the most, you'll be bleeding from every pore. There's no telling how many more hostless viruses exist. Where there used to be rainforest, where there used to be rainforest, where there used to be rainforest. The army has this one in Virginia, knowing someday it'll get in you if you don't believe me.
Take a course in immunology.
Yep, that's Artis. Artis the Spoon Man. He's been here in Astoria. If you've seen him, you'll never forget him. He plays spoons like no one. And does a lot of poetry, too. This piece that I just played, though, was written a number of years ago, long before this epidemic. So thank you, Artis. And something more to do something about in this world. Well, one of the things that everyone who comes to my show believes in, along with myself, is the power of art. And for healing, for joy, and everything else. Pain as well, a way of expressing pain. So Renee O'Connor is here. Hi, Renee.
Hi, Carol.
And Renee is with the Peninsula Clay Artist. Do you have an official title, or are you,
Me?
Is there a board or something?
No.
No, it's pretty loose.
Pretty loose.
Well, it's amazing. You put together quite a show each year. This is the sixth annual show. It's at the Artisan in Ilwaco, which is a great space. It just goes on and on and on. And how many artists do you have showing?
We have 8 artists, members, and then we have some new members who are just having a few pieces each. They're kind of trying it out and helping out a lot with the sales
logistics
and workshops and so on.
Right.
Yeah.
So this runs for 10 days. That's the exciting part.
Yes, actually 11.
11. Oh, yes. If I count on my fingers, it would come out to 11. It's the 6th of August until the 16th, and that would be Wednesday through the following Saturday. And it's 10 to 5 daily, is that right?
Yes. And I just wanted to emphasize that the opening, the very opening is when this coming Wednesday at 10 o'clock, we have the celebration, which is 5 to 8 in the evening on Wednesday the 6th. And we have Brian O'Connor, my husband.
I was going to say, what a coincidence the name is.
he's playing music again.
And he's wonderful. He's wonderful there, but he also plays in numerous locations at the Shelburne.
Right.
He
plays at the Shelburne every Tuesday and weddings and such.
He's up for hire. So go see the show. Get a double whammy. So I read somewhere the Mud and Fire Art Show. Is that a name that you guys gave to it, or did someone lay that on, or is that a David Campeche special, or what?
You know, I'm not sure who thought of that, but it does describe it. We're going to be having, as far as mud, throwdown on Saturday the 9th.
Ooh, and sounds like fun.
I believe it's at 11 o'clock. And what that is it's a competition amongst David Campeche, Rod Maxwell Muir, and Richard Rowland.
Holy cow, yes. We got the big guns out here.
Yes, so they're going to, I'm sure it'll be they'll insult each other and try and outthrow each other to see who can have the biggest pot on the...
Oh, okay.
They're going to throw pots on the wheel.
Throwing
the potters.
Pots. They're not throwing clay at each other.
Right, right.
Okay.
It's called a throwdown.
Is that official? Really? People say that?
Yeah,
right?
it's a potter's
term.
Or
is this only in the West Coast where they say like a cowboy thing?
I think it's kind of a general...
Okay.
Kind of a competition.
A throwdown.
Yeah. And then the smoke part, we'll be having some barrel firings.
Oh, I've
and
seen
raku,
that.
And it's quite exciting for, well, people who've done it, but if people who've never done it, they are, you know, it's an event.
Yeah,
it's real smoky.
It
there's
is.
Fire. There's,
yeah, people put stuff in and and then they take the top off and the smoke explodes and you
yeah so it's keep really an immediate
it's exciting stuff
yeah it's fun
and you don't even have to be one of the artists to be involved in the peripheral effects. That's
right,
the nice
yeah and
not
with,
to mention buying the work, that's a whole nother part of it, of
yeah
course.
But with the barrel firing and the raku, people can actually purchase a little pot that one of the artists made, and I think it's $25 a pot, and then they decorate it themselves and they fire it, so they are definitely part of the process, and then they take that pot home.
What happens if it cracks in the firing? Is it just
oh that
so
never
it goes?
Happens
oh, oh, oh. Oh, of course not, unlike the Anagama kiln, that
yeah.
never happens. We
well
drips and drabs. And so let me just get back to this on the 9th with this throwdown. Is that going to be all day or just a
I believe you know I'm not I can't remember exactly the
okay.
time. I think it's from about 11 till 3.
Oh, that's
but,
a goodly
if people
portion.
Look up on Facebook, Peninsula Clay Artists, with an S on the end, they'll have the schedule on there, and it has all the different events, the workshops, and the times.
You see me making faces. I'm making faces because not everybody
does
is
Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yeah.
So what can someone who isn't on Facebook?
Oh, okay.
Is there a website?
They can call Bay Avenue Gallery.
Okay.
And the number is 360-665-5200.
Okay, 5200. And is that, who's
there? Sue Raymond is the owner, operator of that gallery.
Right.
They have a lot of classes there. And so they have all its kind of command
information
central
there.
For
okay.
the show.
And I have something of Sue's. I bought it with garlic, little garlics in it. And it's there's still a lot. This 3 years later, I just put a little drab. It's the funniest looking animal. You know how she does all these
yeah.
critters.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your... you do tiles, don't you?
Yeah, mainly yeah. I'm a tile artist. I do a lot of installations and public art. I just finished doing some 5 mosaic public art installations in Arlington, Washington, which is right next to Oso, where the
oh my goodness.
The big slide was. It didn't have anything to do with that, but yeah. So I hope that
when you say big, how large are yours when you do
oh
some?
Well these are each about 3 feet by 2 feet.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
and
a good size, yeah,
so
for working with clay especially. Just quickly, all the different kinds of things, like I'm saying, your tile, and these guys are big pots as well as small pots. And
yeah, there's a real range of yeah. raku, tile work, platters, functional ware, vases, whimsical bird sculptures,
houses.
Things you can put in the yeah garden yeah. and there's a lots of stuff. So jewelry. I'm actually making. I have some jewelry in there this year
from clay.
Yeah,
beads.
Yeah. It, well, they're not beads, but they're pendants.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's I've gone every year and I have thoroughly enjoyed it again because part of it is the diversity and the friendliness of folks. There are usually a lot of the artists are there. Also, I think one year when I was there, and I don't think it was the opening, but Rod Maxwell Muir was actually working. I took a picture of him, and there were 2 little children just totally
right.
enamored. Is that are there going to be some demos during
yes.
that?
Yes, yeah.
And you have workshops, too, going on.
We do.
On.
We have quite a few workshops, and we still have openings on in most of them.
Okay.
There's a wall pocket workshop, which is wall vases with Danny Peterson. There's a decorative technique workshop with Sue Raymond. I'm doing a mosaic sign workshop. And I'm doing a Cuenca tile workshop, which is, it's kind of hard to explain over the radio, but it's a tile making technique. And then there's the terracotta trays, which is a functional tray that, and all of these things people will be able to make
and
then take home.
Yeah, yeah.
And all materials are provided, all glazing,
right.
everything.
And of course, we're not going into prices, but there's a cost for the workshop, but
right.
you get a take home, which, and you've made it, plus you get the skills. So
right,
that's
and you
fantastic.
Get a lot of information that then you can take and
right.
do what you want with.
And come back and join the Peninsula clay artists sometimes.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Again, folks, this is begins on the 6th, which is this coming Wednesday, opens at 10 a.m., and then the grand opening or the celebration is in the evening. So it'll stay open from 5 to 8 for the celebration with Brian O'Connor playing music as well. And then it's open 10 to 5 every day through the 16th. This is the 6th annual Peninsula Clay Artists Show and Sale in El Waco at the Artisan. Ha, huh, we just had the museum from El Waco on earlier.
Right, so I saw Betsy.
They have their opening tonight. So, yeah, I said the Peninsula is just happening. So thank you so much for coming in, Renee O'Connor, one of the Peninsula Clay artists. And we want to send a shout-out of healing for Jan Richardson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm going to let Renee go. And I've got my next two guests who are lined up. They only have a few minutes, but I do want to mention, folks, again, we've talked about the River Vigil at 6 o'clock at 6th and the River. The Coaster Theater tonight and Sunday are 39 Steps, and Into the Woods Saturday and Wednesday, Fiddler on the Roof, Papa at Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday at 2. The Columbia River Symphony is tonight. I mean, oops, forget about that. Not today. You missed today's. Tomorrow at the Armory, that huge building in Astoria at 7 p.m., and Sunday at the Old Olney School. It's a church now. It's at 3 p.m. Unspoken Heroes. The Voodoo has Andrew Endres Collective. Tonight, jazz, and Saturday is our own Michael Hurley. Tillamook County Arts, that's TCAN, is the biennial. That's every other year. And from 5 to 7 tonight is Jazzitude. It's their opening. And Nehalem State Park has Shakespeare in the Park tonight at 7. And Saturday is Taming of the Shrew. That's a group from Portland. Willapa Harvest Festival, quilts on the Willapa. And it's all at Raymond High School. It's going all weekend. Great Vows End Monastery. This is one very dear to my heart. It starts tomorrow at noon and goes through till Sunday at noon. And this is the 24-hour interfaith chant for peace. And by interfaith, they really mean it. It means if you have faith in trees, that's your faith. If you have faith in women, you want to do a women's chant, and then all the established religions that can possibly be. It is a really wonderful thing. You can drop in for an hour or go for 24. It's free. Feels great to be there. Bay City Arts Center has a theater arts one day with Helen Hill from 10 to 4 on Saturday. So much happening. Two Crows Joy at Sand Dollar. It goes on and on. I have it all written here. And you'll have to call me and find out. Okay, because I want my last two guests to have a chance to talk, and they both know how to talk very well. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Carol.
That was Sky McKee and Judith Nyland from the Astor Street Opry Company. And I understand, and we did a little sing for the Shanghai Astoria, which I always do every week while you're underwriting during your season. But I mentioned last week you've got a lot of old-timers, not to say old people, but old-timers coming back and playing roles. Shazam, Sky, what are you doing here?
Well, let's see. I'm going to do Vivian tonight. I wanted to be a part of history. This is history, people. Come
absolutely.
And see it.
Absolutely. And now you did Vivian in the past?
Yes. Yes,
when
I've
was
done.
That?
Oh, geez.
We've been trying to guess.
I know. It's been a while because, like, the last few years of my Shanghai career, I did topsy-turvy more than regular show. But I think I probably was doing it up until, like, 2005, 2006, okay.
I think
on.
So. You did yeah. You did spots. You'd come
yeah.
in and do guest
yeah.
spots
yeah.
for a long time.
So you remember everything or you had to go over it?
Actually, I mostly remembered it.
Oh, my God.
I was pretty stinking amazed.
It's catchy stuff. It gets is. In your blood and your system.
The song, no problem. But, you know, it was really good that I attended. Yes.
I've never even played it, and it's in my head. So there
well,
you go.
I don't yes. want to blow my chords out,
Lascivious
but I will sing Viv. Some if you
yeah.
want to hear it.
No, I want you to tell us what all's going on. So you are going to be playing Miss Vivian. Is that tonight only?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, folks, here you go. Not that there isn't everything else going on, but here's an opportunity for a vintage Shanghai in Astoria.
We like to refer to them as ringers.
Oh.
Oh, wait. No, I wasn't calling Sky vintage. Oh, I like that. That's good. Sky's the ringer. The vintage is the performance.
30 years. 30th anniversary.
And that's why this is so special. It's your 30th anniversary. 30th. Weehaw.
Yeah, totally couldn't miss that.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And I had a good time. The one thing, and I'm going to say it loud and clear so that people who come will hear it maybe. Okay. This is about the popcorn. I was sitting towards the front, and yes, exactly. But you know, in the old days, the popcorn was thrown. It's a melodrama. The popcorn was thrown at the bad guys. Now it's thrown at everybody.
Well, think of our changing times. Think of South Park. You know, it's like
I don't have television.
Never
saw it.
You're blessed. It's just a different time. But we do try to discourage them from pelting Virginia.
I know.
We
really try. She's just so sweet, and she's not even sweet but dumb. That's Eric. But
he deserves a popcorn pelting
once in a while. But I personally would like to have the really bad guy popcorned.
Yeah.
Out of there. I mean, I just love seeing him get thrown bags and boxes of popcorn. So if you haven't seen Shanghai'd, oh my gosh, you must see Shanghai'd. And if you have guests, that's a perfect opportunity. If you don't have guests, go anyway. And this would be delightful because you'll get to see a ringer.
Yeah.
Sky McKee playing Miss Vivian. And you also, don't you have the Miss Vivian in Virginia contest coming up?
We got so much. I'll say it real fast if you let me.
You're good at that.
Okay, the Virginia and Vivian contest has started with local taverns, bars, coffee houses competing to be those characters. I'll come back and talk more about that later. But this weekend, this Sunday night music, we are trying to do some early Sunday evening music. We have the Peepers, along with John Crawley, Bob Lennon, Tom Peake, and Peter Unander. We have Buddy Crope's Puppets.
Buddy Crop.
Crops. Yes. Puppets. We have Crown Vic and the F-150s. It's going to start at 6 o'clock. Very inexpensive admission, and it's a benefit for the food bank.
Yes, thank you very much.
An
That's
annual
wonderful.
Benefit for the food bank. And then next week, we're going to have Bonnie Bentley back with the Phantom Teardrops, and that's going to be on the 10th of August.
Okay. And I have to say, these Peepers, I understand they're a new band, but they sure ain't new people.
No.
These are four top musicians in our area whom you all know. Whether you love them or not is your privilege, but so that is Sunday evening from 6 to 8. You can still catch all the other music.
Right.
So you said that the contest is already on.
It's just beginning, and we're going around collecting and getting people to enter, and we will the grand prize will be decided on the September 19th at a. We're bringing back Topsy Turvy for one night only. We've skipped a few years, and we're going to announce the winners there at the at that show. I also want to say next weekend our ringers coming in are Deke Guidi and Lamar Blackner.
Oh, God, I love those two.
Doing Crook and Sneak.
Oh, I love those two playing.
Lamar is playing this week, though.
And Lamar is the MC this week.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is going to be a fun season, folks.
We're trying.
If you don't know what that Viv in Virginia is, any of the, a lot of the pubs and the coffee shops that you go into will have buttons with someone's picture on it.
Right.
And you'll be able to purchase those buttons, and that's, you know, a popularity contest, but it's all in fun, all about the community, which is what Astor Street Opry Company is all about. And Judy Nyland is the queen. even though she wisely stepped back a little bit, she's still the queen. So, okay, so tonight only is Sky McKee.
Correct.
As Miss Vivian. Oh, man.
Lascivious
Vivian. Oh, I really would love to see you dressed that way.
Oh.
I'm saying, you know, I'm doing with my hands.
I want to thank Nate. He is going to let me.
The director. Nate Buchholz.
Yes, Nate Buchholz, the director.
Uh-oh.
I had an idea for a costume, and he's going to let me do it, and I'm very grateful. It should
just
be pretty fun.
Think dead animals and corsets.
Oh, my God. I'm getting very nervous here. I'm very nervous. We're not talking about... But you know what? Sky does a great job. By the way, Sky McKee is one of our formerly local artists, a fabulous photographer who
Thank you.
Who jumped ship, but she comes back to visit us, and that's great.
I had a good reason.
Yeah, sure. That's what they all say. Anyway, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks Astor for Street squeezing Opera. Us in, Carol.
It's
we
the
appreciate
30th
it.
So anniversary, much. And the show is running for a while longer, but you can go several times because it's always different.
Thanks, Carol.
Promises. Make peace and honor the river and yourself and your neighbors all over the world.